$9 January 2020. It was going to go to 2022. We might as well say it's basically 3 years. So it's like a. I don't believe the college can, and I don't know, DAS maybe, but I believe on average MOUs are about 2 to 3 years. I don't think anybody would even really want to go beyond that on either side, right? So there's usually the 2 to 3 and then the possible extension of a couple of years. But I do want to kind of try like hone in with what Rich is asking. And I mean, obviously this isn't the call for it, but I will say that Brandy's not the only college that is really, really struggling. In fact, I'm not going to name anything on this call, but I think we may even have to have another one of these special meetings as soon as next week, because I've been notified by another location that they want immediate out as well, who's further, I would say, in the hole. And in addition, I've been notified by another college of their concerns of their future. So Brandy's location isn't going to do anything more than what we may be finding ourselves into very similar conversations sooner than we anticipate. The thing is, when you waive the location, we have to waive it based off of the way DAS and the state operates an MOU agreement. And unfortunately, when we waive, we can't set the terms of how long the waiver can last. All we can simply say is we waive our future opportunity in so many words, and then in that language we'll say something, you know, should that complete, you know, once that's complete, then you have to come back to BSBY as a first right option. So historically, I have not seen any agreements that are like 5 or 10 years. They're typically 2-3 years with the extension possibility. So I would say that's probably most likely the way it's going to be. But that would be Manchester MOU agreement with whomever they sign and the terms that they agree. But typically, you don't want to lock yourself in too long. But we have some serious problems out here. Very serious, to the point that, again, this isn't just Brandy's situation. This is, you know, obviously people's current operators' livelihoods now, and they're, you know, negative thousands. So, you know, our goal is to certainly protect the operator and their well-being first and foremost. And certainly, you know, if there's anything that we can just add in our waiver, we can state, like, we can put a line, you know, we don't dictate contractual agreement terms. I guess that's my point. So if we waive, we have to just be respectful to whatever the terms of their next agreement is and kind of, you know, wait back. But let me be clear. Let me add this too, that, you know, there has been ongoing conversations with just about all of the administrations in the areas that we need to have these conversations. And from what I've gathered from different colleges, is there's no anticipation of a major increase of population, at least not for the next semester. In talking to two out of the three, and, well, I guess I could say three, I know for certain two have already told me. One has told me they're anticipating 4 to 6% increase. That's nothing. Not what we're identifying as to the financial hardship an operator's taking. And then another college is anticipating minimal increase as well as some possible restructuring of the college facility. So that may offer, what my point is, they anticipate at that school to certainly keep online classes definitely for the next semester, because they're going to be blocking off different wings. So we can't, you know, adjust or take on the business practice on the back of an operator. Yeah. And that's, I think, it puts us in a tough situation.
I was just told this morning that we're going 20% higher as of January.
Okay.
So I don't know what college that was, but board, or if that's something that just changed because there was a last-minute meeting and the dean came down all excited because he thought he was feeding us good news. So
okay.
Maybe that was his first stop. But I don't know if that's something that is happening across. But even still, 20% of what she's doing there, it's not. I'm not pushing for that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, keeping it in a bad spot.
No, I'll be blunt on the phone. I mean, Rich, you really lucked out. I'm telling you, I know. I just left the meeting and I'm like, so it's tough times out here.
Something that I also think is relevant to the conversation about waiving it is in 2023 they're planning to unite all these colleges into like one giant university. So that for me. That may, in turn, change the way that they look at food service and providing food service and how they want things done as well. So I kind of feel like if we waive it right now, that their own, if they get somebody else, that they only would do the two-year contract because of the predicted merging of all the colleges into one giant college together. So
yeah, but
I think
they're not closing the colleges.
No, they're not closing. What they're doing, though, is they're merging them into one thing.
Right.
And so there'll be
one
president in charge of all the colleges. Instead of, like, each college has its own president, there's going to be one person in charge of all of them. Well, they've already done that. And now they want to make it so there's one administration in charge of. So they may restructure all the colleges in a way that is beneficial to us in 2023 when they're restructuring, be hopeful that they would only sign a two-year contract with somebody else if they can get somebody else because of the restructuring that they're planning to do within things that they might want to do something with that. As well as, is there a way for us to retain the vending commission for for the general fund?
Right. Yeah, I think certainly we would put that first right opportunity of the vending in our letter, acknowledging that, you know, I try to think of every possible way of trying to retain a facility. It's not something that obviously any of us want to do as a program.
Correct me if I'm wrong. If we waive it and nobody else comes, then we are entitled to that vending, but if somebody comes in and runs the cafeteria, they would be able to take the vending also.
Hey guys, I just have to interrupt. We need to make sure that we're identifying who's speaking.
Okay,
sorry, that was Frank Roberts.
Thank you.
Frank, you know, that's a good question. That's a good question. I'm not certain. I'll have to double back with Tracy. I did touch base with her. She's out of state this week. Because I did pose the question in regards to the vending and the retaining of those vending machines. Sometimes, correct, I believe if a food service negotiates that in their agreement, then that may supersede our ability to resume those vending machines. Because we did not have Manchester vending machines prior to our takeover.
Right.
So.
But there are other schools with cafeterias running that we have the vending at, so...
Correct. So I think it really comes down to the, you know... So obviously if Manchester gets a bite as to someone that wants to resume their cafeteria, they may request the vending, they may not, you know. But we would, I guess, have to see once that cross that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think... The thing that I was tampering with, the thought was, well, I think there's a major piece that I did not add to this conversation. And this piece is, through the transaction sales, we've identified that half of the minimal sales that are being made this semester are being made by the high school students and the servicemen on campus. So I think that piece alone is strong enough to, you know, understand that this semester there was not a need, there was a want for food service. You know, I was talking to Nick, and a need would show you viability and interest of the party that is requesting. This is a want, because if it wasn't for the high school students and the servicemen on campus, Brandy would not have made it this far. So I think that's important to note. And, you know, you just, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if we, there's just the viability is not there this semester, and I just don't know how, you know, and to Brandy's point, I mean, we did go premature down the promotion and transfer list, and when we thought there was a possibility of it being a viability option, but no one wants to resume. Yes, there are a couple people that are interested in our program, but I am not willing to risk putting someone new into a situation that we as a program has observed is not a viable option. You know, it has to show viability for us to kind of, you know, feel like, okay, this is the right move. But at 25%, and in addition to knowing that within that 25% of business, you almost have half the percentage of that being you know, made up by people that aren't even college students or faculty. And it's tough, I'm telling you, I understand, but this is just the reality of where we are today, and we have to notify the college as to our future commitment and plans.
When doing that, is there a way that we can put it to them and show them? I know you said Nick's been showing them the numbers, so there's no secret there. Is there a way to say, for us to continue under this current contract, the operator would need to be compensated?
We tried that.
Up with a figure that, you tried it already?
Yeah.
When we first initially opened, started back up, we talked about the cost of paper goods, because they, the school is very particular about what paper goods and paper products that they wanted. And instead of helping you so that they could have that, they were like, okay, well, just use, she can use whatever. She doesn't have to do trays now. She doesn't have to give us paper trays now.
So what I'm saying is just put it to them, almost like a take it or leave it type of deal without coming out and saying that, but we could put that we met as a committee, we put it to a vote, we reviewed the numbers, we reviewed her profits and loss, and we feel that to continue operations under the current MOU, there would need to be some form of compensation by the college to the operator in the form of money, so you can make a living, or whoever, if somebody else wanted to take it over. But if they don't agree to that, then we're going to ask to, you know, put a cancellation of the agreement. So it's almost kind of like the ball's in their court, and they're making the decision whether or not that, you know, they want to put some money out because they see an operator that's not making any money, or they're going to view it as an opportunity to get somebody from the private sector in there. So
we actually pay them compensations at this point off the vending.
We
pay them compensations off the vending. So they didn't even offer to, when we've told them continuously about problems that we're having, about the apprehensions we had about starting up, about the cost of current things, there was no discussion of, well, we'll waive, even being willing to waive those compensations to help offset some of the costs. I do not believe that the school would be willing in any way, shape, or form to offset anything. It was not an easy battle to get some of the increases that I've gotten. Unfortunately, they want filet mignon for spam price. Is the bottom line. Like, there's not a lot of realization on the cost of things and how that necessarily goes. It makes it very difficult to feel like they would be willing to do that, considering we have kind of thrown that ball into their court, and they've ignored it on several occasions.
I'll just add to one piece. I did send an email to the administration, 2 days ago? And within that email, it was pretty much, I would say, a pretty strong summation of what we observed and our issues. And within that email, I did ask, should there have been any COVID relief funding from the federal government that could be used to either, replenish or you know, directly related to any COVID effects, would they consider a reimbursing Brandy at least for the $7,000 of initial inventory she took on during a period in which she was not comfortable even operating in. And as to date, I have heard nothing from that email. So, you know, I think the reality is that it's sometimes, you know, you may get administrations that are willing to understand and have the ability to work with what you're requesting and stating, and then there's others that maybe cannot do that or just don't have the interest. I don't know. You know, I know certain schools have been very good to us in being able to assist in any capacity they were able to, and then others just, you know, kind of want to tie it to the MOU agreement, and we have to unfortunately respect that. I think this is going to be a challenge for anyone following us, so I just don't know. You know, I think I could put a blurb in an email that would essentially say, you know, this is unfortunately where things stand, and, you know, but it's up to the college to want to assist. They know, they've been kind of pre-prepped about today's conversation, so this isn't going to essentially be new news as to our serious concerns on our future operation. I think the college has had ample amount of time to respond in a manner that grasped our attention. If they were looking to obviously work with us in any capacity, and I think, you know, we got to kind of sometimes see it for what it is. And if you don't get a response to something that clearly outlines and had multiple people on that email chain, then I would personally take it as this is where they stand and this is where we have to stand, and the determination has to be made. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I respect your concern, Rich, but I don't see any other possibility that we could really attack this with. If they can't even waive the vending machines, they're not going to compensate for anything. And at the point of compensation, they're going to own you.
They already feel like they own you anyway. That's the problem. That's what it sounds like. You know what I mean? They control everything. So
yes, and I got to be honest. That is my fear. That is my concern. Is the minute you ask for compensation, if it's not a mutual respected compensational agreement, then you all know these are your operations, and you guys know your peaks and you know your lows. And the minute that you want to present that you don't want to be in operation during your lows, oh no, you will be in operation during your lows, and you will need to do this, and you will need to do that, and when the weather gets bad and you didn't want to go to facility, oh, you should have been there. So, you know, the name of our program, or not so much the name, but the our program is designed for you guys to have entrepreneurial experience, not to be employees for anyone. And I think, you know, and that's what I'm trying to protect for all of you, because believe it or not, compensation does not always supersede the ability to operate something in the manner in which you know it should be operated and you were hired to do.
This is Keith with a comment.
Yep.
I like where Rich's head is at, as far as, you know, weighing all the options out there and seeing if we can get something back from the college. It seems like the agency has gone that route for the most part. It might be not exactly what Rich was thinking, but it seems like they're not answering us or trying to play ball with us. I've always said on my personal facility that I'm not funding it out of my back pocket. I don't think that's fit for any operator to have to fund the facility out of their back pocket and lose money so somebody can get a, you know, $3 cheeseburger. Nobody at the college works for free. No one in any state agency or building works for free. And neither should operators. They shouldn't be making $31 a week or whatever it might be. I think that my opinion is that at this time, with all that we've heard today, with the questions Rich raised and the answers we've heard from the agency, we don't really have a choice, or, you know, to waive it. But I would, you know, obviously, I don't know if you have to put this in the language,
you know, should they find somebody else and it's a 2-year contract, they, you know, as long as they know they need to come back to us, because, hey, 2-3 years down the road, none of us can see the future. If they do go back to 50%, 100%, who's to say? But if it becomes a viable spot again, you know, I would like to see us get back into these big places if that situation arises. We don't know that. But, you know, I'd hate to see the writing on the wall where, you know, we're losing all these colleges. And, of course, if anyone, Rich is sitting there saying, whoa, am I next? You know, and we don't want that don't want to put a bad taste in anyone's mouth. But with the current situation, we almost don't have a choice but to waive it, you know, and hopefully have an opportunity to get it back if it becomes viable again.
Yeah.
That's just my thoughts on it. You know, we don't want to lose these bigger operations if they become profitable for an operator, but we can't put somebody in there if it's not.
And you're absolutely right. And I think the reality is just this. I think each college is operating. See, this is one thing. And we can't wear or feel obligated to wear how each college operates. So in Rich's case, I have to be of the mindset that Rich's college is operating in a manner that requires more on-student population than maybe other colleges. You know, each college is offering different programs. There's so many variables, and so, you know, we can look at it as a whole as to, oh, what does this do to our, you know, our college availability or our options down the line, but we can't look at it that way. We have to look at each location for what it offers today for the operator that's operating, and I think that if as long as, and we have to keep in mind, the cancellation of agreement is in the MOU, so it's not like we're doing something off of the MOU. This is allowed, right? I mean, if the college was not happy with us, they can request the exact same 30-day request that we're doing. So it's on either end. So I don't want anyone to feel like we're doing something outside the lines of agreement. No. My goal is to complete our semester and, you know, certainly do everything we're supposed to do. You know, I made that clear to Brandy early on. As long as we do everything we were asked to do, we don't walk away with our heads down. I am not walking away with my head down on this. We're looking at facts today, and this is what we have to work off of. You know, the future is the future, and to your point, we don't know. I mean, who knows? Next semester, there could potentially be 100% people. I still don't feel that we're making a wrong decision today because we don't know next month or in January. And the college needs 60 days notice, so it's not like we can hold off and say, well, can we like kind of hold off till January? Because if it's the same thing January, then we'll be entitled to operate in the same manner that we were forced to operate this semester, because we'd have to give the college 60 days from January. So it's important that we do what we feel is the best for this specific location, not looking at a whole, because this operator today is down $18,000. And I don't think anybody, you know, would want to be in that position. And, you know, and that's the bottom line. You know, Brandy's walking away $18,000 in the hole, and I can't do anything from this seat to offset that. The committee can't do anything to offset that. Brandy's tied to $18,000 loss in Manchester at 25%. So even if you factor that in, let's say you go up to 50%, right? Let's say next semester is 50%. She would have been down 9,000. 75, 4,500. 100, she's breaking even. This is simple math. When you just stop and think about where she ends and where it's going, this may not have been what we thought it was to be. And that's the thing. You know, every college has a different formula in which they operate in. Some have a formula that draws a lot of certain maybe demographic age groups. There's a lot of factors, you know, eating habits, are so much that we can't ever use each college as an apple to apple situation. Each college is going to do what it's supposed to do and offer what it offers, because the menu options across the board are essentially the same, you know, so that we know. And the pricing was, like I said, this semester in line. There just isn't a population. And in addition, I'll add one more piece to this. if the high school students ever get cut off from being able to patronize the college, then that's devastating as well, just based off of how much support they've shown this semester. But you can't really bank the high school students because it's kind of an allowance by the principal. If they get a new principal, the new principal may say, no high school student can go to the college side for lunch.
I'd actually like to interject to tell you that actually happened. In the beginning of this semester, there is a new principal and vice principal, and they didn't know that the seniors, and it's only seniors and juniors that are allowed it. Juniors are only allowed for freshmen. So it's not even like you get the whole high school. It's literally the senior class and the electric guys who are making up the majority of 75% of my business. I have 52 returning customers every day. So at the beginning I didn't have them. So my first like 2-3 weeks I was negative hundreds of dollars because I was anticipating this high schoolers that I didn't get. Then I found out I didn't have them, and for like the first 2 weeks I had nothing. My days were $400 a day. I think I made $1,200 the first couple weeks because I didn't have them. And then they let them come to me, and then my numbers started to improve. And on days of the high school's art in session, like tomorrow, it's pointless for me to even open. I made like $300-$400. And again, it's the electric guys who provide half of that money. So they eat breakfast and lunch with me, and there's like between 4 and 10 guys a day. So if I thought that I could make it work, or I thought that it was, you know, that I could hold on until it got better for everyone else, so it could be a viable state, because I understand the once you give up one, what's going to happen with everybody else, and so on and so forth. But again, like, you've got student activities going on, Rich. I bet there's no student activities going on. I have no cafeteria for them to even sit in.
I'm not asking you to stay in there. Believe me, it doesn't sound like
if I thought that I could hold on to wait for a better time, I would. You know, I really would. I've given it this semester to try to see if it could get better. If I could make more. If the if they put more classes on campus in the 6 week, you know, they go in 6 week increments in some of the things. Like, I really gave it a good college try to make a go of it, and it's just not at this point. I think it's worth, we have to give it up. I think it's best to give it up right now and take the chances of having to wait 3 years for it to come back.
Let them see if the grass is greener on the other side. They get somebody else in there, somebody else goes to them in a month and say, hey, what the hell, you guys told us we were going to, you know, to expect this much volume and we're doing this, and then they're going to pull out and they're going to come crawling back to us anyway, and then, you know, we can say, well, we tried before, and you know, we're not willing to come back until numbers come back, if at all.
Yeah. Nick, I know you're on the call. Do you have anything you want to add in as the field rep, as your observation and thought that you may want to add?
I think you guys said it all. The only thing that I would address is Rich's concern, you know, about opening the door.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought about that too, Rich, you know. Because right now you've got four colleges within the program, and, you know, if one dean talks to another dean and says, hey, what's going on over there, you know.
And they do talk.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, you have an MOU that's specific to your university or your college. As Tyrell said, it's not apples to apples. And, you know, as much as sometimes you think the MOU hurts you, in this case it may be helping you. What I have observed is you're doing the best as far as population, and you're fortunate in that respect. But I, as a rep, don't foresee that or believe in what I'm being told or promised, because you can't make promises when you don't have the information. So, you know, going forward, perhaps they would come back to us, because I do agree that it's going to be very difficult for them to find someone. And the playing field will be different at that point, or at least it has to be presented as such. But at this time, I don't want to risk anybody's livelihood or profitability or viability towards success. That's it.
And I'll just say one more thing, and you guys can definitely take the floor. But like I said, this location, unfortunately, is not the only concern for colleges, and we may have a need